And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Well, I'm glad you've tuned into our broadcast again this week. We're going to take up a study here in John chapter 8. We left off last time in verse number 19. Just to go back and take a look at the context here, the Lord Jesus Christ goes to the Mount of Olives. The Pharisees bring a woman taken in adultery. The Lord deals with those fellows there in that they have not brought the man. If the woman was taken in adultery, the man certainly was guilty too. The law evidenced that. The Lord writes on the ground, doesn't speak a word, and then until he tells them to cast a stone at her. If they're not guilty and if they're without sin. And of course, the Lord's not talking about sin overall or perfection. He's talking about their lack of justice and judgment in this matter. They've not brought the man. They brought the woman. They've not brought the man. And then how did they know to take the woman? No doubt, possibly it was even a setup. And so the Lord saves this woman. And then they speak to the Lord. The Lord speaks to them, rather, about being the light of the world and about walking in darkness and having the light of life through him. And then they talk to him about his record, and then that him bearing witness of himself is not good enough. And so he says here in the end that he has bore witness of himself and his father also, and that the law says that the testimony of two witnesses is true. That's the way it was to be in the law of Moses. And then he tells them here, they ask about his father in verse number 19. He says, "You don't know me, nor do you know my father. If you had known me, you should have known my father also." And so them claiming God Almighty, God the Father, if they truly knew him, then they would have known Jesus Christ when he came. But they did not know him. They did not believe him. They were offended indeed at him. In verse number 20 of this chapter, John 8 verse 20, we see here the scripture says, "These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come." And so John, there is a sense that John's writing this after the fact, but it is true that the circumstances and situations regarding the operation of men would have seemed evidently at this time that it would have been a right good time for the Pharisees to go ahead and lay hold on Jesus and to try to put him out of business. But John makes the point here that even though circumstantially the circumstances were such that it seemed like they could have, and even maybe they would have, no man could lay hands on him because it was not time for the Lord Jesus Christ to be taken, much less die. The Lord is working in even the offering of his son. And I'll tell you what, we as mere mortals, if we don't believe what God says in his word, we'll scratch our heads at this because we find it hard to reconcile that God the Father is working to offer his son a sacrifice for sins. This is no mistake that's going to take place in Jesus Christ being crucified. But yet, wicked men are working, and they're working their wickedness to accomplish such. And in the end, they do. The apostles in the book of Acts say as much, that the leadership in Israel, along with Pilate, And the Gentiles, the Romans, put the Lord Jesus Christ to death. They slew him. But yet it was the work of God. And look back over here, and if you have your Bibles, John chapter 7, verse number 44. Remember what it says here? "And some of them would have taken him, John 7:44, but no man laid hands on him. It just could not be. It was not time. The Lord Jesus Christ indeed was on a specific time frame. I want to read a passage over here in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2 here, as Peter's preaching, the apostles are preaching on the day of Pentecost, we pick it up here in Acts chapter 2, verse number 21. Listen to what it says. And it shall come to pass, Peter's speaking here about the prophecy of Joel, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that's not just with the mouth, but indeed with the heart, as Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch, if thou believest with all thine heart unto salvation, with all thine heart, he could be baptized, because baptism is for saved people. Verse number 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So the Father is working. It pleased the Father to bruise him, it says in Isaiah. It was necessary, and he did so for his people. Yet men are working in this and are conniving against the Lord and contriving against him, and they ultimately will bring him to his death. Yet there on the cross, the scripture says plainly in the Gospels that when the Lord Jesus Christ, when all things were finished, that then he yielded up the ghost. And so these words in John chapter 8, verse number 20, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. The life and the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior was on a definite time frame ordained by God. It wasn't what men were able to work against Jesus Christ. Jesus and God allowed it when it was time. Verse number 21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. So he makes it very plain here that he's on a track, he's on his mission, what he's been given to do. There's going to come a time that they're going to look for him, and in their situation, he's speaking to the Pharisees, remember that. They're the ones that have come and have questioned him about his record there in verse number 13. He says, you stay in the shape you're in, you're going to die in your sins. Me, I'm going on. I'm moving on from what I need to accomplish here on this earth. I'm moving on to glory, is essentially what I believe he's saying. Whether I go, you cannot come. How is it that sinners are able to go to heaven and be with the Lord? Remember what the Lord told Nicodemus in John chapter 3? Over here in John chapter 3, the scripture bears out, the Lord says in verse number 13, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. No man's ascended, but the Lord Jesus that came down. He's the one that made the way. And he says to these fellows here in John 8, he says, ye shall die and shall die in your sins. If you stay the way you are, you won't be able to find me, you won't be able to come to me, and you will die in your sins. Verse number 22, then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come? And so they are thinking carnally, they are thinking of the things of the world. They're thinking that maybe he would escape them by committing suicide, and by what he said. No, he's talking about the ascension to the Father. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about after he is given his life on the cross of Calvary and is laid there in the grave 3 days and three nights, that he will raise from the dead and will go unto his Father. Verse number 23, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, and I am from above. Remember what we read in John 3:13. I'm from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. So he makes that distinction. He said, you are earthy. You are earthly. I am not. I am heavenly. I am divine. And indeed, he is and was divine. He said, there's a distinction between us. I can go places that you can't go, and you can never go there without me. Verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. Listen to this. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now in the King James Version, the King James translation of the Bible that we use here, listen to what it says. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for, or because, if you will, if ye believe not that I am. He is italicized, and the translators put those italicized words in there to help us out, try to help out with the understanding of the passage. Sometimes they get in the way. If we drop the he, we see that he says, for if ye believe not that I am, he is the great I am. The Lord Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, and he is the great I am. Ye shall die in your sins. Without Christ, without faith, without repentance towards him, towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will die in your sins. How about you, sinner? You need the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you may not admit it, but if you're living on this earth and you're have been born to a woman, born to your mother, which all have been, we've all been born to our mothers, of course. You're a sinner because you descend from Adam. You descend from Adam, and Adam sinned and transgressed there in the Garden of Eden, willfully sinning against God. And when Adam sinned, he died, and we all died spiritually. Dead, without hope, without understanding and a way to even communicate with God. But God made a way through his Son that sinners like you and I can be forgiven of our sin in Adam, if you will, and our sin and of ourselves. We have fallen in Adam, and then we are fallen and depraved because we desire sin. John chapter 3, again, bears it out that it is true that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Repent of your sins. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe what he says here, that without Christ, you will die in your sins. And oh, sinner, we don't want you to do that. But we want you to know that forgiveness that comes by the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Jesus plus nothing and minus nothing. He says here again in verse number 21, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. That's how it is without Christ. And then in verse number 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for or because if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Sinner, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, see, their time has passed for now. Thanks so much for tuning in. Farewell until next time. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.